This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up with just 36 days before the election, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump met with a gathering of retired military leaders that represented every branch of the service in every war and conflict dating back to World War II to the present extended military engagements in Iraq and Afghanistan. The wide-ranging discussion covered issues from cybersecurity, social engineering in the military, radical Islam, to PTSD. Now, I moderated the discussion along with our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, who will join me in just a moment. We'll also talk with former Congressman and retired Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, who was a part of the gathering today, about how to stop radical Islamists and what kind of military leaders the next president will need if they want to turn around the military. And where might they find those leaders? We're going to talk with former Congressman Alan West about that. And following the discussion with Donald Trump today, I moderated a couple of discussion groups with the entire gathering. And one of the issues that came up was the issue of women in the infantry and special operations units. A retired female Marine gunnery sergeant had a few choice words for the men in the audience. Gunny Jessie Jane Duff joins me a little bit later. You won't want to miss that. And in yet another shameful display of the liberal media, a question about whether or not Donald Trump would support a holistic approach to dealing with post-traumatic stress syndrome by a Marine Staff Sergeant, Chad Robichaux. It was twisted to suggest that Trump was attacking men and women with PTSD. Sergeant Robichaux is here to explain. All of that and more coming up here on this edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you'd like to find out more about today's program. Also, if you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me, at T. Perkins. All right. As I mentioned, Donald Trump spoke at the Retired American Warriors PAC in Virginia here earlier today and out by Dulles Airport, and I was privileged to serve as one of the moderators of the event. And my co-moderator was none other than Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tony.
A wide-ranging discussion today, and one of the first issues that Donald Trump brought up was the issue of cyber security. He spoke to that issue. And I've got a clip. Your impressions of his emphasis on the issue of cybersecurity.
Well, I think it was what he said today was sort of a holistic program. I think he laid out the imperative for cybersecurity, both offensive cybersecurity and defensive cybersecurity.
I found that kind of interesting because he emphasized that point several times. He said, we don't need just a defensive posture. We need to have an offense when it comes to cyber warfare. And in particular, he focused those comments on, rogue operators like ISIS and others.
Right. And, you know, there are so many ways to use cyberspace in an offensive way, one of which is what's, being used against us. They're penetrating our networks. They're reading our mail. They know what we're going to do before we do it. Or they're using it for propaganda. So when you have offensive cyber capabilities, it means you know how to get into the other guy's network. You know how to manipulate his data. You know how to trick or spoof him, as it's called in the intel community. And then you know how to take his internet and shut it down when he most needs it at a critical point.
And a lot of what we do today, not just in the military, but from our economy and transactions, entertainment, education, so much mm-hmm. is now tied into the internet that this is a threat that really blankets all of society.
That's right. If you go back to 2008, there was a run on the U.S. markets. Remember, Congress had to step in and shut the whole thing down, shut the markets down. Well, Kevin Freeman, a friend of ours, has written a book about that where he explains that in all probability that was China. They penetrated our markets through the web, And they started making a run on our markets. Just think what you can do. You can mess up air traffic control. You can send ships to the wrong ports. You can do all kinds of things if you're sophisticated enough to be able to penetrate your adversary's web and penetrate his cyber capabilities. You can do some awesome things.
And one of the points he made was that we've not addressed that. And in fact, he took on his competitor in this race and her stand on cybersecurity. I want to hear a clip of Donald Trump this morning at this gathering of retired military leaders.
Hillary Clinton's only experience in cybersecurity involves her criminal scheme to violate federal law, engineering a massive cover-up, and putting the entire nation in harm's way.
Now, he, you know, obviously they're taking a political shot at Hillary Clinton. However, a lot of what he talked about in something that I was, I guess it's a little different. He actually got more into policy discussion today as he began to, first he started off with about a 10-minute speech on cybersecurity, and then he sat down between you and me, and he had the a conversation with the 130-plus retired warriors that were there. And it was a thoughtful dialogue in which he gave some specifics on some of the issues that were asked him.
Yeah, he did, Tony. I thought that he did well answering the questions that we asked him. And our questions, you know, was sort of a full range of things. We talked about, you know, his strategy for defeating ISIS, but we also talked about the condition of the Veterans Administration and the needs of the veterans. We talked about religious liberty and what he would do as Commander-in-Chief to try and restore religious liberty.
I want to stop you on that one because at that point, and that was toward the end of the discussion when that issue was brought up, it was asked by
Ron Cruz.
Yeah, Ron Cruz asked that question, kind of laying out a number of the cases. In fact, it was interesting. He mentioned the case of Coach Joe Kennedy.
Yeah.
Who
Trump mentioned.
Yeah, right. Trump mentioned.
Yeah, Trump
mentioned
Joe
that
Kennedy.
In response to Ron Cruz, not knowing that Coach Kennedy, who was a retired gunnery sergeant from the Marine Corps, was actually there in the room. And so he waves his hand and said, "I'm here. I'm here." And so Trump engaged him in a discussion. But of all of the issues we talked about with Mr. Trump, that seemed to be the one that. Now, he was animated on the political correctness issue. He did go into, and we're going to talk a little bit later about the PTSD, the issues related to that. But he was very animated when it came to the issue of religious liberty.
Yeah, that was amazing because he said, "Hey, you know, I just read the other day about a football coach that was praying, you know, on the football field," and we said, no, he's in the back of the room. And then they had a dialogue. But what caught me was you could tell by the way he spoke to Coach Kennedy. He said, "What's the outcome of your situation?" He was really interested. This was not just for the cameras. He was really interested in knowing what had happened with Kennedy and where that whole thing had gone. So I thought he did well on that, and then he went back into the discussion on whether on the Johnson Amendment.
Right, he went into the Johnson Amendment, which was not related directly to the military, but it is directly related to religious freedom. And so he then again spent time talking about the Johnson Amendment. We talked about the introduction of the bill last week with Majority Whip Steve Scalise to repeal a portion of the Johnson Amendment. So I was encouraged by his continued interest in the issue of religious liberty.
There's no question that he gets it. He understands it. I know that he has people around him like Kellyanne Conway who understands the imperative for a restoration of religious freedoms in our military, which have been terribly infringed. But I think that this is sincere, it is genuine. And, you know, one of the things that you and I talked about earlier, I thought that Trump was as relaxed today as I have ever seen him at any event. And it wasn't just because these were military guys and all that. I think that the questions that were asked were fair, reasonable questions for him. And he had anticipated what he was going to say about a lot of these questions, and I think he said it very well.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. I'm in the studio here in Washington, D.C. with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, Executive Vice President of the Family Research Council. And today, we were a part of another event. The Retired American Warriors PAC hosted a conversation, a discussion with Donald Trump. And by the way, they've also extended that to the other candidate in the race, and you and I would be happy to moderate that discussion as well. This was about, you know, someone who is positioned to become the president, regardless of what party they might be, hearing from those who, I mean, we're talking about four-star generals mm-hmm. on down who have advised presidents.
World War II veterans.
Yeah, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and every conflict in between. But these are men that have had to make these decisions and have been in battle, mm-hmm. in combat. And they have, there was a lot of knowledge and wisdom in that yes. room today that any leader would benefit from.
Tony, I don't know if you added it all up, how many years of experience were in that room, but just one guy there said, I've had 1,000 days in a combat zone. I mean, just think about it, 1,000 days in a combat zone. There was a lot of wisdom. There was a lot of collective wisdom in that room today. And these are people. One of the veterans said to me, in fact, it was Major General Gary Harrell, who today is the anniversary of the events of called Black Hawk Down mm-hmm. 23 years ago. And he and I were talking, and he said, you know, what that did for me was not just hearing Trump speak, but hearing these other generals and admirals and sergeants say the same thing that I've been saying. They have the same concerns. They see the same things. And he says, you know, I feel isolated. But being in that room today with them talking, even after Trump left, with them talking about real issues that I have been concerned about, it helped me a great deal to see that I'm not often out of
space. That's interesting. So that, you know, these guys, this was a rare gathering of these type of military leaders.
I've never been to one before. I've never been to anything like this before. You'll have a little anniversary of this or an anniversary of that or a reunion of this or reunion of that. But for them to come together to talk about substantive issues that deal with military readiness, and by the way, they were all there as, you know, voluntarily. Nobody was coerced to come.
Or drafted.
They're drafted. That's right. But, yeah, there was a lot of wisdom, and there were some good points that came out. I mean, you go back to Fritz Croson, a World War II veteran. You go back to Ace Lyons, the admiral there, you know. This guy, you know, he's kind of stooped over, but there's nothing wrong with his mind, and he is a thinker, and he articulated very well what a lot of us are thinking today.
Well, it was a fascinating discussion today, and it was an honor to moderate that discussion alongside of you. So, General, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And go back to your office and start searching for those Marine jokes. I know you spend a lot of time.
I got some new ones.
I know. Well, you obviously have been doing a lot of searching on the internet. I heard that today. All right, folks. When we come back, we'll be joined by another veteran of the United States Army, also a veteran of Congress. Alan West is here to talk more about our discussion today with military leaders and Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump. Don't go away. We're right back with more after this.
Have you noticed lately that healthcare premiums and college tuition are on the rise? Some say the government should provide them to citizens at no cost. The idea of offering such services for free through government programs is understandably attractive to many. However, the utopian socialist principles behind such ideas are inherently flawed, and in reality, their ends can only be achieved through unfettered government overreach. Down through the ages, socialism has only wrought destruction, and those who propose that an American execution of the same policies would somehow reap a different result do so at their and our peril. With American interest in socialism on the rise, it is vital that we understand its foundational philosophies so that we can combat this fatally flawed government solution to a human problem. Watch former Congressman Bob McEwen lead an informative discussion about socialism and its true consequences at frc.org/McEwen. That's frc.org/MCEWEN.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here, and I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
In April 2013, my daughter committed suicide, and I had spoken with her every morning at 7:30 in the morning, and I didn't know what I was going to do with myself at that time every morning, when I knew I should be talking with my daughter on the phone. So I decided to turn on the radio and see if I could find some comfort with a radio program or a station, and I came upon your radio station. And at that time, Dr. James Dobson does his radio show between 7:30 and 8. And it has been such a blessing to me because I now again have something to do at 7:30 in the morning. So you guys have been a real blessing.
You can hear more stories of changed lives during our three-day Share-a-thon starting October 18th. American Family Radio, 25 years on the battlefront for your family.
Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. Yesterday was Pulpit Freedom Sunday. We mentioned earlier with General Boykin, we were discussing the Johnson Amendment repeal that came up today in the conversation with Donald Trump. But yesterday we had hundreds of pastors from across the country participated in the Pulpit Freedom Sunday, in which they preached a message to varying degrees. Maybe it was about the party platforms, comparing them. Maybe it was discussing the candidates and where they stood on the issues, or maybe even to the point of who they were voting for. I don't know. It ran the gamut, wide range of approaches to this. But I as well preached a message yesterday at my home church regarding this and just talking about freedom. And the freedoms that we enjoy in this country, and whether it's economic freedom, whether it's political freedom or religious freedom, the foundation for that, which Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 3:17, is that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That freedom, the foundation for all of those freedoms we enjoy in this country, are spiritual freedom, which comes from knowing Jesus Christ. And those freedoms that emanate from that spiritual freedom and allow it to grow and prosper, i.e. religious freedom, are under attack in this country today by many of the policies. And I would tell you, I don't think the contrast has ever been greater in this election. All right, let me go back to today's discussion. There was a conversation about the leadership, conversation about what type of leadership would be necessary for a president who wanted to change the course of our nation's military. Where would you find that leadership once you identified it? Well, joining me now to talk about that is one of the individuals who was present today and a part of the conversation, former Congressman and retired Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Colonel, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good to be with you, Tony. It was great seeing you today.
Well, I appreciate your contribution to this, and obviously there were many in the room who appreciate your leadership that you have provided both here in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill, but also in addressing this issue of our military and the threat of radical Islam. That was an issue that was prominently discussed. What were your takeaways from this conversation today?
Well, I think that what many of those extremely esteemed warriors that we had gathered, you had combat leaders from World War II all the way up to the present, they're looking for someone that will not have a social, ideological agenda. They're looking for someone that can identify who the enemy is and come up with a strategic plan by which we can defeat them, because of the fact that we have been reticent and recalcitrant, because of the fact the Obama administration's national security policy is based upon obfuscation, denial, and outright lying. We see an enemy that is now able to export its terrorism, even worse than what we saw with Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. And so now they're able to plant IEDs in New York and New Jersey, and we see people being stabbed at malls in St. Cloud, Minnesota. So I think that people are looking for resolute leadership, the kind that we once had from a person that believed in the mantra of peace through strength.
Colonel, one of the aspects of this that was repeatedly brought up was the current leadership. There's been kind of a purge under the Obama administration of really true warriors. You have civilian leadership that is clueless when it comes to the military. And in order to change course, you're going to have military leaders who understand what you just articulated. Where will you find them?
Well, I think that there's a generation that, is there that we need to capture them before they decide to exit the military, that are looking to be that next generation of young, talented generals that can take this military, our Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, onto the battlefield and secure victory and success for our men and women on the battlefield, that they're not going to kowtow and submit or succumb to the wiles of political correctness and a civilian leadership that is really not forthright with them.
So do you think there is a need or a place in, and I'm just saying, you know, if you have an administration that literally, that genuinely does want to turn around the military, to bring back some of these seasoned warriors, like we saw there today, who are unbridled by political correctness, that could come in and help train up these new leaders?
Yeah, I think so. As a matter of fact, there's an incredible precedent that is established in that Lieutenant General Peter Schumacher had retired as a three-star general, but yet he was brought back on, promoted to full general, four stars, and he became the chief of staff of the Army. So I think that that precedent is already out there. As long as people can meet the standards, you know, height, weight, physical stamina to come back and be leaders. So I think that's a very viable thing that we need to look to do to some of those who have been, you know, and there have been some issues with some senior leaders, but there have been some that have been cast aside because they stood up.
Colonel, we're almost out of time, but Colonel Wessel, one final question for you. How big of an issue is national security in your mind when it comes to this election?
I think it is huge, because you can make the American people as prosperous as you want. We know what to do as far as restoring our economic growth. But economic growth and prosperity means nothing if your first inalienable right, which is life, is not protected. And the number one responsibility of the federal government is to provide for the common defense.
All right, Colonel Alan West, great to see you today, and thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me, Tony. All the best.
All right. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, former congressman from Florida. Great American. Okay. When we come back, one of the items that was discussed in a free range, a whole range of questions and answers and comments, it was just a dialogue that took place among those who were gathered. This was long after the candidate had left. And it was just these, as the general said a moment ago, this rarely happens where you get all these military leaders together to talk issues. Well, the issue of women in infantry units came up from a retired Marine gunnery sergeant, a female. She's going to join us next to share her perspective on the issue. You won't want to miss this. We're coming right back with more Washington Watch right after this.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, we've got a number of important things coming out this week, economic data. Of course, it is the end of the third quarter, the start of the fourth quarter this week. Next week, we should start getting some earnings reports. And as I mentioned to you last week, according to all the data and the reports coming out, that the S&P 500 companies are on track for their sixth straight quarter of negative, on average, negative earnings. So that is not good news, and we'll start seeing them come in tomorrow. Of course, the big concern is going to be the financial sector. That's what everybody's going to be watching very, very closely. There seems to be a lot of negativity in Europe and Asia in reference to the financial sector, all started by Deutsche Bank, spilling over into Commerce Bank, another German bank, and then a Spanish bank. So we are seeing some concerns. That just raises the issue enough for everybody to say, wait a minute, do we have a problem? And as they look into it, they discover, yes, we have a problem. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. There's not getting any real predictability out of any of this for the month of October. I think month of October is going to be very volatile, but all the technicals show pretty much a neutral position on everything, meaning it could go either way. We could be in for a very severe downturn, an uptick, but we are likely to have volatility no matter what. We get ISM manufacturing numbers coming out, construction spending, auto sales, the ADP employment factory orders, the service sector number as well, but most importantly, we get non-farm private payrolls. They're expecting 171. Last month, you might remember, we had just an absolute pathetic 126.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us again on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, as I mentioned, following the discussion with Donald Trump, I moderated a couple of discussion segments with the entire group. And one of the issues that came up was the issue of women in the infantry and special operations units. A retired female Marine gunnery sergeant issued a challenge to some of the men in the audience. And retired Marine gunnery sergeant Jesse Jane Duff joins me now. Jesse, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you so much, Tony, for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Now, you retired after 20 years in the Marine Corps. And
yes.
you have some pretty strong feelings about this discussion regarding whether or not women should be in infantry units on the front lines.
Well, yeah, I guess strong feelings is probably being gentle with me, because it's quite obvious I'm probably a little furious that this happened at all. Essentially on April 1st, and it seems like nobody knows that this happened throughout the nation, April 1st, combat exemption for women was lifted. What this means is women can now involuntarily be assigned to infantry units. And in the Marine Corps, they've done numerous demonstrations of trying to meet this new requirement that women can get into. 400 women went through infantry training battalion, and only 35% graduated. And then many of those women were used in a combat study for 9 months that millions of dollars were poured into to essentially prove what we already knew. The women will always be perform at the bottom 15% of the men. They are injured 3 to 10 times the rate of men. They have greater rates of needing to be pulled out from operations, and they are slower to respond in evacuations. This is a no-brainer. We all knew this. If women and men were the same physically, then the top athletes would always be in the NFL together, they would perform in the NBA together, and they would no longer have separate competitions in the Olympics. But we had to actually spend millions and millions of dollars to prove what everybody already knew. The 65% who didn't graduate infantry training battalion, people seem to think, well, if women want to, let them. What they don't understand is many women may naively think that they want to do this and then suffer serious injury or disability and no longer be able to finish their enlistment or re-enlist. the bulk of the women are have, because we have a higher injury rate, the bulk of women will not see a 20-year career like I did, particularly if they're in the infantry. How will they get promoted if they are always at the bottom 15%? No female will be at the top. We know this because biologically we have 45% less muscle mass, 20% less lung capacity. And the reality is that the men in the leadership at the Pentagon allowed this to happen, did not fight hard enough, and now women like me will become obsolete.
I mean, you were pretty strong about challenging the male leadership and being silent on this. What do you think is behind that? Is it a fear of being labeled as chauvinistic or what, that men have not spoken up to just cite the very facts that you've just laid out there?
I think it's a matter, it's all of these social ills that our country faces today. The very issues that you fight from the forefront of our religious freedoms to Black Lives Matter, to social reconstruction of even the rank structures in the military. Nobody wants to be labeled a bigot. Nobody wants to be labeled a racist. Nobody wants to be labeled a misogynist. And the fact of the matter is we know what is right and we know what is wrong. That is clear. And there's no data, zero. I challenge anyone to find data to me that substantiates women fighting on the front lines in hand-to-hand combat with ISIS. Because ISIS will not fight fair. They don't get drug tests like we do. They fight on methamphetamine. And please no one tell me about the Israeli forces because they do not fight on the front lines. They are pretty much put on very secure borders on guard duty, and they only do a 2-year enlistment. And again, don't tell me about the Kurdish women who do fight because they have no choice. It's a national security issue for them. They don't deploy with the United States Marine Corps. They're not on the ships. They're not roaming throughout the world to save others from the carnage of ISIS. What it boils down to is we have become a society afraid of speaking up for the right things because we don't want to offend those who support the wrong things.
Well, I have to commend you, Jesse, for being outspoken, but being equipped with the facts and being willing to speak out. And I have no doubt your voice was heard today and will make a difference in this whole discussion and debate over whether or not women should be thrust into these infantry units and special operation units. So, Jesse, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Tony, and Semper Fi.
Semper Fi. Retired Marine Gunnery Sergeant Jesse Jane Duff. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Folks, look, you know, this is, again, this whole issue of political correctness and a fear of what people say, and it's not just any people. It's progressives. It's the media on the left. It's those that want to, you know, label you something, stigmatize you with a label, marginalize you with the purpose of silencing you. Folks, get over it. You know, Jesus told us, look, they hated me before they hated you, so they're going to hate you. Just get over it. But you see, when you and I shrink back in silence out of fear, this kind of stuff happens. Lives are destroyed. Societies implode. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue this discussion about today's conversation, but we're going to talk about how the media twisted one aspect. Chad Robichaux, another retired Marine, joins me when we come back. Don't go away.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Christians have an exciting opportunity to help our country this election cycle. In 2012, 20 to 30 million Christians did not vote, and leaders were chosen without our input. That many votes can turn an election. We have an opportunity this year to put our nation back on course. Voter registration is open till October 8th in most states. Make sure you're registered to vote. And then on Election Day, make sure to vote. Be an informed voter. Visit AFAaction.net to get the AFA Action Voter Guide.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted healthcare option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian healthcare sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable healthcare for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're not already receiving my daily updates, you can sign up at TonyPerkins.com. Keeps you informed on what's happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom across the nation. Comes to you Monday through Friday right there in your email inbox. So check it out, TonyPerkins.com. As I mentioned earlier, if you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me, at T. Perkins. And by the way, just a reminder that this program, Washington Watch, comes to you as the result of folks just like you who are supporters of the Family Research Council, and you can do that as well at the website, TonyPerkins.com. Just follow the links over and become a partner with the Family Research Council as we work to promote and defend faith, family, and freedom in our nation here in Washington, D.C., and around the country. Okay. I'm going to go back to our conversation that took place today. I was moderating a discussion, Q&A, with Donald Trump, and then a conversation with various retired military leaders. But in the Q&A that was conducted with Donald Trump, Sergeant Chad Robichaux, who is a former Special Operations Force Recon Marine, which is, this guy's pretty serious, all right? I'll just tell you that. He now heads up the Mighty Oaks Warrior Program that serves active duty veterans and their families after enduring hardships through their service to America. Now, it focuses on those that are suffering with post-traumatic stress syndrome, okay? And today, he asked Donald Trump about problems with the treatment that veterans are currently getting for PTSD, something that he suffered from and overcame after 8 combat tours in Afghanistan. Now, in the hours following our meeting and the response to his question, the media unbelievably twisted the response that Donald Trump gave to Chad, suggested that Trump was attacking veterans with PTSD, suggesting they were weak. Well, Chad joins us now to set the record straight. Chad, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks so much for having me on, Tony.
First, talk a little bit before we get into how the progressive media likes to twist things and make stuff up where it's not there. Let's talk a little bit about the Mighty Oaks Warrior Program and what you have seen happen as a result of a holistic approach to those individuals who are suffering from PTSD.
Mighty Oaks is a faith-based program. We go beyond the trauma and individual event that took place in, or the series of events that may have taken place in a combat veteran's path, and we look at who they are as individuals, the choices they make every day, and the responses they make towards the trauma they experienced, and we help align them their lives to the lives that we believe they were created to live. And we've become an alternative resource to clinical programs, so a very holistic faith-based program. And we've had a tremendous success. We've had 1,100 graduates, very high-risk suicide individuals coming through the program with the 22-a-day rate. And we've had zero suicides in our graduates. And beyond that, we've just seen so many of our graduates move on to do amazing things, either continuing to serve or transition out of the military and just get back to living a great life again.
Now, Sergeant Robichaux, you talked about that in your question about the faith-based approach, a holistic approach, that's being kind of squeezed out and looked down upon, marginalized in many ways. Let's talk a little bit about your journey through that and your recovery and overcoming PTSD. What role did faith play in your experience?
It was everything. I mean, when nothing else worked, when I simply made the decision to surrender my life to Christ and to live the life that I should have been living all along, that's when my anxiety went away. That's when my PTSD went away. That's when the desire to take my life, because I struggled with taking my life. That's when all those things went away. And I had tried the medications. I tried going to counseling. Those things didn't work for me, and I went through about a 3-year period of a real self-destructive downward spiral, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, and I almost lost my family. My wife and I almost divorced. And so hitting rock bottom and coming to a point to where I knew where else to go. My wife and really challenged me, asking me how I could do all the things I did in the military. And when it came to my family, I quit. And that challenge sparked a fire inside of me to fight again, get back in the fight. And I knew I couldn't do it alone, and I needed someone to walk alongside me. And a man named Steve Tillip came along to mentor me. And he introduced me to not just an authentic relationship with Christ, but he introduced me to a year-long biblical mentorship of manhood, biblical manhood. And when I got on the other side of that, I realized that I found a cure. And it's like finding a cure to cancer. You'd have to share it. And that's how Mighty Oaks started. It was just a desire and passion in me to feel like I had to pay it forward. I had to pass that cure on to the next guy. And here we are 5 years later, and we have 1,100 graduates. And also on the spiritual resiliency piece, I've spoken to probably 20,000 active duty military on spiritual resiliency.
You're based in California. In this faith-based approach, as you described, a holistic, and as you presented this to Mr. Trump, what are you finding in terms of your interaction with the military, the VA and others? Is this type of approach to dealing with PTSD, is this being frowned upon? Is it being shoved aside, or is it being embraced? What's your experience?
We get a kind of a mix, to be honest. We've had people push back on us because we're a faith base. We've held fast to. I mean, obviously, there's no reason for us to do what we're going to do unless we do it the way we believe. But what we found is through the success of the program, it's really caught fire. We get active duty on PTAD, which is called a permissive temporary assignment of duty orders. So the military doesn't pay us, but they pay the veteran to come, and he didn't have to take leave, or not the veteran, active duty. So we get active duty from probably about 16 different commands that send them to us. And then in addition, we have veterans who are out that come to our programs. And the response we tend to get is tons of guys that went to all kind of clinical programs, and those clinical programs didn't work for them. And when they come to our program, they which is only 6 days long, by the way, and that's probably been their biggest critique, is how can you change, you know, someone's life in 6 days when they've been a six-month inpatient program and that didn't work. And the point is, and you know this, it's not 6 days or it's not 6 months. It's one moment when a man or woman makes a decision to get up and move forward and live the life we were created to live. And that's the approach we take, and that's where we have found success with taking warriors who have faced the things that Mr. Trump talked about today, you know, face hard things, things that we're not supposed to see, things that we're not meant to see. And when we fall down on our face to have someone challenge us, like my wife challenged me, and say, hey, it's you know, there's a path forward. And that path forward comes with making a decision to get up off the ground and get back in the fight and live the lives we were created to live and do something important again. Because I believe that for all of our veterans, that regardless of how, what we experienced and what we've seen, when we fall down, there comes a time that we also need to get back up and be the warriors and leaders that this country needs us to be. And 23 million veterans in America, it would be a national travesty if they all became victims to this PTSD thing and stayed laying down on the ground. We need our warriors to get back up and get back and lead again after the military, after the uniform.
And the numbers are staggering with 22 veterans a day taking their lives, quite significant. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Sergeant Chad Robichaux, my guest. He is heads up the Mighty Oaks Warrior Program. To find out more about that, you go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. All right, Chad, I want to ask you, what did you ask Donald Trump?
Well, what I asked Mr. Trump was, if he was president, and this was the nature of the question, if he was president, would he allow and fund holistic programs, not just strictly clinical programs, because that's what we have now. We have strictly clinical programs, but allow and fund holistic programs that maybe even faith-based programs like ours, and for warriors to have that option to get that treatment. And I also asked about him restoring the historical role of our chaplains, which has been taken away from many of our chaplains. In that spiritual resiliency would actually become, you know, priority in the military again. So those are the nature of my questions. I wasn't asking them about individual veterans and were veterans strong or were veterans weak. What I was pointing out was that the thing that's weak is the system that we have in place. That's what's weak, and that's what's broken, and that's what's failed. And the question wasn't related to the veteran at all. My question was related to the solution to the problem. And you know, I felt he gave an answer that that affirmed my concern that the system's broken and we need a better system. We need more options. I'm not speaking against clinical programs. I'm saying we need alternatives and caveats. Because and one of the things I liked that he said was that he wanted to put the decision back in the hands of the veteran. And right. I was really happy to hear him say that.
Chad, I want to play just a portion of his response, because this is the I take it that you were not offended by his response.
No, not at all.
All right. I want to play his response, because I was sitting there right next to him when he made this statement in response to your question. And it's amazing, because I was shocked when I came out of the event and saw how the media was portraying this, that he attacked veterans. So here's a short clip of what he had to say in response to your question.
When you talk about the mental health problems, when people come back from war and combat and they see things that maybe a lot of the folks in this room have seen many times over, and you're strong and you can handle it, but a lot of people can't handle it. And they see horror stories, they see events that you couldn't see in a movie, nobody would believe it. Now, we need a mental health help and medical, and it's one of the things that I think is least addressed. And it's one of the things that I hear, like your question, it's one of the things that I hear the most about when I go around and talk to the veterans. So we're going to have a very, very robust, very, very robust level of performance having to do with mental health. We are losing so many great people that can be taken care of if they have proper care. You know, when you hear the 22 suicides a day, it's a big part of your question, but when you hear the 22 suicides a day, that should never be.
And when let me just ask you, did you take that as if he were attacking veterans who have PTSD?
No. And you and I, talked about this. I came here to be able to ask a very important question. And that question was, what are we going to do to change the broken system that we have? And I felt he responded to it. The one thing I think they're twisting that he said was that sometimes some people see things that they shouldn't see, and they can't handle it. And the sad reality of that is that's true. For anybody to twist that and suggest it's weak is a complete slap in the face and insult to veterans, because, you know, I've seen and experienced things. Many veterans have seen and experienced things that have knocked us down. Just like you get a broken bone or a bullet through your flesh, I mean, sometimes we get hurt. And sometimes those hurts are mental. Sometimes those hurts are physical. Sometimes they're spiritual. But to suggest that because the acknowledgement that wasn't strong enough to handle it at some point doesn't equate to being weak. And he didn't say that. I didn't interpret it that way.
And even as I introduced you to ask the question, I made reference to the fact that you had suffered from and overcame PTSD. So to suggest that he was attacking anybody, it's just amazing to me. But that's how the media operates. They twist, they turn, they misrepresent. And that was on full display in this particular case. Sergeant Chad Robichaux, thank you so much for joining us. An amazing story, amazing ministry, and we hope to have you back on to talk more about that. And we're certainly going to encourage people to check out Mighty Oaks Warriors program. So, Chad, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on.
All right.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Semper Fi. Sergeant Chad Robichaux. It's really, you know, there are so many folks, so many men and women who are, men in particular, who have been in these combat situations suffering from PTSD. And, you know, this is something the general and I have been talking about for years now. The very component, you heard what Chad said, the faith component, living for the purpose you were created to live for. And that all starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the very thing that is being driven out of our nation's military. It's critical. And that needs to be, as he said, it's not the only thing. Clinic, there's no problem with clinical treatment. You can do that. But we should not say it's off limits for men and women to have spiritual counseling and to have the ability to have what has been described as this holistic treatment. All right, folks, almost out of time. But I have a feeling it's going to be a busy week. Started off busy. We've got a lot more to cover this week. And we're going to cover it. All right. Didn't get a chance to get to the phones today, but Lord willing, we will tomorrow. So I hope you'll tune back in again tomorrow afternoon for Washington Watch so we can have this conversation with you as you're on your way home. Remember, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more. If you missed anything from today's program, you can listen to it later in the archives. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.